Be seated. Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, where we'll be looking at verses 5 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, which can be found on page 1105 in your Bibles there before you. Now, this weekend, I have the topic of speaking on zealous preaching. So I thought I would start off here in the chapel with the other side of that, which would be zealous praying, because that's the minister's two duties of preaching and praying. So I wanted to talk about putting a little zeal into our praying. And Jesus certainly encourages that as we look at his words here in Luke 11, beginning with verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend? Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's just pray once again. Father, we do ask that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit in greater measure even now, that you'd bless the words that are spoken, the words that are received, and Father, that you would really make our time here at RPTS, this particular place, a house of prayer, of earnest prayer. For we ask it in Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning I want to just remind you that when God pictures for us prayer in the Bible, it is with the idea of fire. The incense that was offered up in the temple went up before the Lord. We know that's a picture of prayer, but remember what fired the incense. There was a heat underneath it, a flame underneath it. And when the early church was gathered there in Acts at Jesus' instructions, and they were praying and waiting for the Lord to act, remember, as he sends the Holy Spirit, which he promised to do to them, he sends the Holy Spirit to them in the form of flames, of fire. Ian Bounds, who has written a lot of works on prayer, reminds us that heaven is a mighty poor marketplace for ice. God wants our hearts fired in prayer, earnest in prayer. And it's those types of prayers that get heaven's attention. We need to pray in the Spirit. And as this is instructing us to do, we need to be praying for the Spirit of God as his people. That's really what Jesus is teaching here. Right prior to this passage, which I actually a year or two ago preached on in here, in the Lord's Prayer, we see the words that we are to take to God in prayer, the form of our prayers in the Lord's Prayer. But now, following that, Jesus really is instructing us on the heart of prayer, that we are to be people in earnest, that we are to bring a zeal into our prayer life. And as you begin your studies here, maybe for the first time, or starting this new year, or thinking about ministry responsibilities, as I think about the new changes here, we've got a new professor with us. I should have introduced Keith Evans to you, our biblical counseling professor. There's so many new things going on. I've got a new role. I just feel a great need for us to be a praying community here at RPTS. And so look at these encouragements that Jesus gives us to be people who are zealous in our prayers. And they come by the form of an example, and then an exhortation, and then an expectation that we should have as the people of God. First of all, the example. To teach us to pray with zeal, here in verses 5 through 8, he tells this little story, and he wants to put you into the story. He says, think if you had someone show up, an unexpected guest, late at night, and you realized your cupboard is bare, your refrigerator is empty, you don't have anything to feed them, and they need something to eat. And you have a neighbor, a good friend of yours, and you say, well, I know he's got something that could help me out. Stores are closed. I got to go to see him. It's hard to imagine some of this in our modern era. But you go next door, and you start tapping on the door to wake your friend. Now, he's living in a small house. Everybody's sleeping in the same room. And they've gotten the children to bed, and he's getting a little irate. And he says, be quiet. The door's already locked. We're all bedded down. You're going to wake up the children. And that's really what would get you, because you know how hard it is to get children to sleep. And you know how really hard it is to get them back to sleep. Go away. And so you're standing there with this dilemma. Are you going to be a good, polite friend, but not a good friend to your visitor who just showed up? Or are you going to use your friendship a little bit here and know that if you just keep knocking, you're going to get what you want, and he has to get up to keep what he wants? And so you do that. You just keep knocking. And your persistence gets your friend out of bed. He opens the door. How much bread do you need? Here it is. You need a jug of wine. He's going to do whatever he needs to get you away and back. And so he closes his door, and you go away loaded with what you need with a smile upon your face. Jesus says you need to pray that way. And he says here in verse 8, it's praying with impudence or persistence. An old word that was used for this is importunity. It means to be troublesomely urgent, overly persistent, to keep at it until you receive what you want. And I think Jesus is telling the story this way is because when it does come to prayer, so often when we don't immediately get what we want or we start tiring in prayer, we can think that God is asleep on the job, so to speak. He's not really listening. He doesn't really care. But what Jesus is really wanting us to see here is it's not that God's asleep. Psalms tell us that that doesn't happen. But it's us. It's us that need awakening. We need heart and zeal in our praying. And he's calling us to importune God. If God seems like he's asleep to your prayers, then what should you do? You should pray all the more earnestly unto him. And we need to call him to arise. We need to call on him to make himself known. The psalmist put those types of words in our mouths. And then we need to remember his promises and go and claim those promises before God. You said you would pour out your spirit, oh God. I don't see that. Please pour out your spirit upon your people. You say in the prophets that you'll take desolate cities and that you will fill them with the knowledge of God. Father, do that. Don't only let me read about you doing that in church history or think about you doing that maybe in some time in the future or some other country or nation, but God, would you please do that here? Would you please do that now? You say that you will make your people as numerous as flocks of sheep. Oh God, I don't see that. Father, please fulfill what you have promised to do. That's the example that he gives us in this illustration. And then he goes on and gives us an exhortation to that end. In verse 9, I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. We just saw a story about that. The door was knocked upon, and eventually it swung wide open. And the tense here is that this is a persistent asking, a continual asking, until we do receive what it is that we want. And as he goes on in verse 11, he starts talking about a child asking a father for something. You know that familiar part of it. If he asks for a fish, he's not going to give him a snake or a scorpion, will he? Well, I think it's good that he used the picture of a child asking a father for something to teach us about praying. Because you know this. You know how persistent children can be in seeking to get their parents to do something for them. I have learned this. I'm a father of six, and I think it's my last one that's taught me this the most. My daughter, Celia. For a number of years, she has been asking me for something I thought I would never give to her. Goats. I know nothing about goats. I never wanted goats. And I tried to just hold her off. She loves animals. She wanted goats. And she kept asking me for goats. Last year for her birthday, I thought I'd be funny. And so when she came home from school, I had a goat for her. It was a stuffed goat tied out on the front porch. And I thought I was funny. She just saw it as I was weakening. One time an Irish visitor was in our home. This was back when Celia was only like 6 or 7 years old, and he saw her working me over one time, just how I was wrapped around her little finger, and he called her the wee wangler. The wee wangler. Because she just wangles her way into my affections. Well, guess what? I've got goats. Stan and Ollie. She kept persisting, and she got what she wanted. And Jesus is saying, we need to pray like the wee wangler. We need to keep at it before the Lord. Actually, that's really a theme in the book of Luke. Some of you who will be taking the preaching class, you might want to note that. That there is an emphasis on a faith that holds on to God, holds on to Christ until it receives what it desires. Especially in the area of prayer, over in Luke 18, he tells another parable of the widow who wanted justice from the judge. Remember that one? And she kept bugging him and bugging him until he finally gave her what she was asking for. And he ends that parable by saying this, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When you think of God as a sleeping friend, or an unrighteous judge, or a closed door, or a distracted father, I think, again, really all that's reflecting to you is your own heart. We're the unrighteous ones who know how to give good gifts to our children. Certainly our Father will give good gifts to those who ask. We're the ones that have hearts that are closed to the truth and promises of God and don't open them up widely like we should in earnest and warm-hearted praying. We prefer our formalism of sounding just right when people are listening rather than just begging and seeking the mercies of God. We're the ones that are distracted. We don't have this focus that Jesus is encouraging here to pursue our Father. He yearns to see us seek Him in prayer. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And He ends this with a great encouragement in verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And that is our greatest need as His people, is to be blessed, strengthened, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit who alone can convert? When's the last time you saw a conversion? When's the last time you celebrated as a church the baptism of those who were once in darkness and who are now in light? It's too few and too far between if you can't even remember. And we need the Holy Spirit who can convert. Spurgeon said, no man will come to God Here lies the deadly mischief. Not only is man powerless to do good, but his will is desperately set against everything that is right. Men will not come. You cannot force them by all your thunders, nor can you entice them by all your invitations until the Spirit of God draws them. Come, they neither will nor can. The older I get, the longer I preach, the more I try to grow in my preaching, the more I have come to realize how helpless I am in it in the first place. I should have learned it long ago, but God keeps impressing it upon me. And we have to be people of prayer to see God bless the means of preaching, which He's promised to bless. But are we asking Him to bless as He said He would do? How much more we need the Spirit of God who can empower us. You know, you read the book of Acts, which some of our students, again, will be preaching through in this quarter. And when the Word of God is going out in a powerful fashion, so often it describes the men who are preaching that they are filled with the Spirit, or they are filled with the Spirit's boldness. And we need the Spirit to empower us, to help us to be the preachers that He's calling us to be, to help us to be the evangelists, the counselors that He's calling us to be. You should never walk. You should never take a step into the counseling appointment if you haven't first been on your knees asking God to work there before you start offering what you think is wisdom. I trust it is wisdom, but it needs to be accompanied by the Spirit's presence. And how much more we need the Spirit who can revive His church. We are His temple. He does dwell amongst His people. But God promises that He can bring greater measures of His Spirit to His people. Paul told us in Romans that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through faith in Christ by His Spirit. And yet he also prayed for the church at Ephesus and said, you know, I need to pray for you so that you can be strengthened and know the height and the depths and the width and the breadth of the love of God so that you're just filled with that love. Now we need to be praying that God would fill our hearts to overflowing with the love and the presence of God. It starts with prayer. Zealous prayer. Stuart gave you the application. Tuesdays at 1:00, we pray. And we invite all of you to come and pray. Let's not just have a few people around. Let's fill the room and let's pray and see what great things God will do here at RPTS in and through and amongst us this year. That's what we want. It's His Spirit to bless His people. But you can't do it if your heart's not in it. As Thomas Brooks said, cold prayers freeze before they reach heaven. Just fall back down to earth. We got to have hearts that are zealous and desirous to see the Lord at work. Let's pray to that end. Father in heaven, we thank You as we sung that You are a God who teaches us Your way. And we are grateful for our Lord who came to teach His disciples both the words to pray and the form that our prayers should have, the types of petitions that we are to bring before You. And we're thankful for that instruction. But we're also thankful for this instruction of the heart that we need as we pray. And Father, where we've been too dull, too sleepy, too close to You and Your promises, we ask for forgiveness. And we pray, O God, that Your Spirit would revive us and bless us and guide us in Your ways. We ask it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's conclude our time by opening the psalm book up again to 143D and singing those last two stanzas. Psalm 143D, where God does promise here that His Spirit will lead us and bless us. Please stand.